Amigo y amiga que nos escucha, bienvenido a Corriendo Sobre 50, un podcast dedicado a la vida activa, en específico al running. Recuerde que en Corriendo Sobre 50 proponemos que usted visite a su médico antes de comenzar cualquier régimen de ejercicios. Gracias por escuchar Corriendo Sobre 50. Welcome to Corriendo Sobre 50 Podcast. This is your host, Ramón Manzano. Why the hell are we speaking in English?
El americano Ramón Manzano.
Why are we talking in English? Because our guest today is a very special guest. He is a runner that had finished the Six Stars Mayor's Marathon of Abbott, and he's on his way to do it twice. And he's Puerto Rican, but he's raised on the U.S., so he better talks his English than in Spanish. So in the other side of the sea, the other side is the Master Sergeant.
All the way around, you know. Myself, I was raised, born, and fed with rice and beans in Puerto Rico, and my English is kind of slow, and sometimes I make my mistakes and stuff like that, but I can masticarlo.
As you can hear.
Masticarlo.
This is going to be a good experiment. I guess we have like 52 episodes in Spanish, so this is going to be our first one in English, and of course, this is not our native language, so we're going to make some mistakes here and there.
Bear with us.
So bear with us. So today's guest, this guy, as I told you before, he's a runner. He finished his Six Stars World Major Marathons. His father is Puerto Rican, mother Korean. He lives in New Jersey, and he is Mike Aikaide. Welcome to Corriendo Sobre 50, Mike.
Saludo.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Happy to be here and excited to be talking to you guys.
No, thank you for your time. And we would like to talk to you about your experiences in the World Majors. We are trying to complete those World Majors, and it has been very difficult, and you are trying to do it twice. So you are an example to all of us. So thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you. It's totally doable. I mean, it's to be able to do it once and to be blessed to be on my second try and to be doing it another time is unbelievable. It was, you know, I was lucky the first time I was able to do it in 7 months.
Oh, so my God. Really?
Ooh. Yeah.
Man. Wow, so, 7 months.
So I started in September 2018. Mm-hmm. And I finished in April 2019, all six.
Oh, gosh. Wow. What was the first one?
I started in Berlin. Then I went to Chicago. We went to New York. Then to Tokyo. We went to Boston, and we finished in London.
Oh, my. Tokyo has a lot of problems right now because the pandemic. And they suspended the marathon like two or three times already, right?
Correct.
That's us. Mike, let's start from the beginning. You were born in the U.S.?
Actually, my father was in the military, in the Army, and he was in tour in Korea. So I was born in Korea when he was in the military, and then I came to the U.S. when I was 2 years old.
Okay.
So I was actually born abroad.
Oh, yeah. And when you start running, when the fever of running start with you?
To be honest, I was never a runner. I started because it was a challenge. Someone made a bet and asked me to a bet. So, I mean, my very first marathon was in 2014. I ran for my friend, really good friend of mine, Anthony Mercado. He used to be a salsero, and he played the congas in the New York, a lot of bands. And he passed away from lung cancer.
Oh, man.
So I asked his son to, you know, if I could do something for his father. And I ran New York City Marathon first time for lung cancer, and I raised money and donated to the family. So that was my first experience as for a marathon, and it was terrible. I didn't like it. So I said I was never going to run again. You can imagine, I went in, no training, no coach. I hurt myself before the race, and it took me over 6 hours. So I hated it. I did not want to do it again. Then I never ran again.
But you did, in college, you got the chance to do any athletics or anything like that, or?
No, not in college. I played during, my youth in early years. I did play a lot of sports. I played a lot of baseball, softball, basketball, tennis, everything that any sport that you could play for free. Right. So I played a lot of sports and did a lot of weight training and a lot of stuff just, in the gym and was athletic. So it lent itself well to, once I finally started to run a little bit, it helped me a lot.
I see. But let's go back to for a minute. You're saying that your first run was a marathon?
Correct.
With no training at all?
No, I didn't. I didn't really have a coach. They had, they had a really bad plan, but they didn't have anybody to help you. So I was just kind of like running a little bit on my own, and then trying to figure it out. But I didn't really have any real training, so I didn't really understand how to do a marathon. And, I jumped into the race.
Oh, my God.
It's like, I'm going to do it. I didn't have a choice. I already signed up and I raised money for somebody to donate it to the family. So I was like, all right, that's it. I got to go. And I raised their money with lung cancer for the American Lung Cancer Society. And I was able to finish it, luckily. But it was a really tough day. It was a long day, very hard day. It's like you could imagine if you've done a marathon already, like you guys have done. Yeah. You know that if you're not properly trained and you're not really ready,
it could be
tough.
No, a New York Marathon is a tough cookie. It's not easy as getting there and doing it, but it's a hard marathon. You got up and downs, a lot of getting into those bridges and getting out of the bridges, and then the end you have like 3 miles going up. So it's not an easy marathon like people think.
No, not at all. It's one of the harder marathons to run. Now that I've run, a number of them, it's definitely one of the harder ones to do.
And normally the temperature also it take effect, in their performance, because maybe it's not cold, but maybe it's cold enough to change your plans on how you're going to run it and everything that. Especially the start, because waiting for getting out to run, it's like 2-3 hours and in the cold, it's not fun.
And Mike, how far back you start training for that first marathon? You just register and run a couple of days and then go to the marathon, or you have some kind of structure for that first time? Knowing that you had to start like 4 months before or something like that?
Well, I started late, so I didn't really do it until I didn't find out I was going to do it really into the summertime, and I found a way into the race. So a friend of mine introduced me to the American Lung Cancer Society. They said, okay, we can accept you. So I didn't really get started and get accepted until I think it was July maybe. Okay. So I was like, okay, so I'll try to run a little bit. I ran for maybe like 4 weeks in August. And then I got hurt with my daughter, and I took her somewhere to the beach, and I wound up getting hurt at the beach. So I couldn't run for September or October. So I basically ran for like maybe like 4 weeks, and then I went right to the marathon.
Oh, man. That's hard.
And after that experience, because you're telling me that you suffer for almost 6 hours.
Oh, yeah.
You had that experience. Why coming back to running?
So I mentioned earlier, it was a challenge. It was a bet. So I think it was 2017. So there's a run in Disney World. It's called the Dopey Challenge. I'm not sure if you guys heard of that before.
Yep. Yeah.
So, there was a girl who was a trainer in my company, and they call her Perfect Dopey. She did it every year. And we were like, hey, that's pretty amazing. And I said, of course, me being, big mouth, said I could do that race too. And everybody's like, there's no way you could finish that race. You're not a runner. I said, I can finish it and I don't have to train. I'll do all 4 days. So we made a bet. Everybody put up the paycheck. And I said, I'll do it. So that was my next introduction to racing and running again, was the Dopey Challenge. And
I guess you like challenges.
Well, listen, there has to be motivation or a goal. And, you know, sometimes when you have that type of challenge, it makes you rise to the challenge. Otherwise, you'd be like, you're going to be lazy sometimes. But like, you know what? I don't really have to do it. But, you know, when you have a challenge for it, it just makes it a little bit more exciting. To me, it makes it more fun. You know, it's going to help me bring out the best in me. So I said, okay, I'll do the challenge. And I stepped to that challenge. And
oh, that's cool. That's cool. And from the six majors, which one of the six is you enjoy the most?
I think New York for me is still my favorite out of all of them.
Okay.
New York is still my favorite because it's my home city. It's mm-hmm. my home area. But the crowd in New York is the best. The crowd support, the people. Everywhere you go, there's people that are outside cheering for you. And they scream your name and they push you and they get you to go finish to the end. And New York is just fantastic when you run New York.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And Chicago, too. Chicago, just the crowd is very supportive for the runners. And they have different stages, too. They have people playing music and other stuff that they're kind of cool.
Yeah, no, Chicago's also really good for crowd support. I just finished Chicago 2 weeks ago for the second time, so that was awesome. And we had a great time there too. That was another really, you know, really good race for support, where the people, they cheer you along, they really help you, you know, everybody comes out, and you know, the energy is great. You need that sometimes when you're really far into the race, when you're in mile 18, 20, you know. Definitely. you need that energy, right? So those mm-hmm. are, it's awesome.
I want to put some perspective about the first two challenges that you have, because there's a lot of runners that listen to the podcast that they just run on weekends or every other day, but doesn't have an idea of the races that are out there. When he talks about the Dopey Challenge, to the people that doesn't know, this is a set of races in the mm-hmm. Disney run catalog of races that you have to run. One day a 5K, the second day you run a 10K, third day you run a half marathon, and the fourth day you run a full marathon. So this guy starts starting with a marathon with no formal training, and then to shut himself, goes to do the Dopey in Disney. So must be or crazy or you have good genetics.
Bravery.
I think I just have no brain cells. And I'm probably just a little too dumb to realize I shouldn't do that stuff, but I do it anyway.
That's cool.
Because I have a couple of friends that have finished the Dopey, and both of them are not the same after finish it. So the experience that they come with is that they suffer, and they suffer a lot. Even though they start running even the 5K like in almost an hour, taking all the pictures with all the characters and stopping in every oasis and taking pictures of all the parks, they say that at the fourth day for the marathon is suffering.
Oh yeah, it's a long day. I've done Dopey twice already. I went back the following year to do it again in 2018.
You like it then.
So the constant is that you need to be crazy, because we had another interview a couple of months ago with another fellow that called Blas, and this guy is crazy, and he finished an ultra marathon in one of the islands in the Caribbean, and he was planning to go to what was the challenge, Otero, that he wants to go in the desert?
The ones he's done in the desert.
Les Abres.
Sables or Les Abres or something like that.
And he doesn't have any, he has a formal training, but he's not like
in the desert
an elite runner, but he's crazy.
I think you have to be a little bit crazy if you want to run a lot of marathons, you know, because it's not easy on the body, And if you're not training properly, you know, it's really difficult to continue to do it if you don't get in the right proper running shape and take the right training, right? So you need at least 16 weeks for most people. And if you're mm-hmm. a beginner, you know, you need 6 month foundation and a 16 to 20 week plan to really get it right. I mean, now that I've run a lot of races, now I understand more and I train better and I can, and I've learned how to coach and help and do that. But I've made a lot of mistakes early because I just didn't have a coach or a trainer or the right team. And now that I run on a team, and I've been running on some teams, it's you learn from them. They're experienced. They have coaches. They train you, and then you know you learn to become a coach with them and help people. So it's been better as I've run more and done more races. But in the beginning, yeah, it was really just challenges. Right? You know, how do you do this? What can you do? It's more of it was a mental challenge more than anything, because your body can keep pushing and keep going. It's your mind that gives up first, and that's what gets me through a race. I'm much more prone to want to finish a race and not quit mentally before I have to quit physically. So for me, the challenge for most people is, can they mentally handle the pain? Can they handle the endurance part of it in their mind and say, I'm only at, you know, mile 13. I still have 13 more. I'm only halfway. Can they push themselves? That's where the challenge really is.
In your personal life, running all these marathons, what it brings to you that you continue to do it? What is that thing that click in you that say, oh, I like this, I want to continue to do it? What is that?
So there's a couple things to me. It's really, you know, one is, once I was able to figure out how I can get through a race, it was like, all right, well, what can I do to establish myself as a runner, as someone who does it? And I don't want to say casually, because I don't run just casually anymore. I do run a lot of races with people. I don't train like a regular runner, but I enjoy the people. I enjoy being able to motivate and inspire people to want to do more with themselves, to be healthier, to, you know, get themselves in maybe better shape, or maybe help them, you know, do something where, you know, I got a lot of friends and people that I've met where they're a little overweight and they can't really run around with their kids, but they want to. I'm like, hey, listen, come run with me. Let me get you on a plan and let me help you. And then, you know, they write back to me, man, because of you, you changed my life. I can run around my kid. I feel healthier. I feel better. So for me, that's my motivation. I like being able to help people do more and live healthier and be, you know, just have a better lifestyle where they can do things that maybe they couldn't do a year ago, you know?
That's perfect. It happens to me too. I'm still in the military Air Force. And that's the part I love for running. It's not that I can run far away or do a lot of things like that, but it's helping others to achieve, like, pass the PT or get a better shape. Better life, you know. I really love to see that too. You know, when people get that motivation to get better, that's definitely it's a good sensation. It's a good feeling.
Mike, when you say you don't train like a regular runner, what do you mean by that?
I mean, I don't put in mileage like my teammates do. These guys run, you know, 50, 60, 70, 100 miles a week. You know, I don't really run on a regular basis until there's a race. I just go from race to race. You know, so if there's a 5K race this weekend, I run it. If there's a 10K race, I run it. There's another half marathon next weekend, I go run it. Like yesterday, I did 10 miles. You know, just because I know I have to put some miles in, but I didn't run anything in between. It's just but it's a little bit different these, you know, this last week or two, because I'm going from Berlin Marathon to the Chicago Marathon to New York City Marathon. So there's only, you know, 2 weeks in between each race. So you can't run regular. But even when I'm not doing that, I don't run a really high mileage every week. I'd rather go weight train, strength train, play other sports, and then running is, you know, something I do secondary as a, just another sport or another thing to have fun. I do it really just because I like being with the people and helping people get through a race or pace them, or, you know, it's really more for me to be with my friends.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm running so much in a little time. You know how many marathons in a little time keep you in shape too. So,
well, that's the other thing, right? If you race every weekend, your kind of training is your race. You don't necessarily have to do a long run every weekend, because I'm running just another long run is another race. So it's a different way of kind of approaching some training. And it's been good for me so far. I've been lucky. I'll knock on everything in my room right now, but I've never DNF'd any race yet.
So coming back to the majors, how you get the chance to do it so consistently without, you know, because we've been trying to do the lottery and it's been kind of hard to get shoes and everything. What is your magic to get a position in those marathons?
The easiest one would be New York for me, because we live here.
Yeah.
So we get something called 9+1 in New York.
Mm-hmm.
You run 9 New York Roadrunner races. The plus one is you have to volunteer to help at a race. Once you do that, the following year you gain entry into New York City automatically.
All right.
So we have a little bit of an advantage over the rest of the world in New York, because we can get guaranteed entry into the New York City Marathon by doing that. So that gets me into New York every year. I'll just go run the races there and be able to do that. Because again, I'm an everyday runner, an average runner. I'm not a professional. I'm not an elite runner, right? So I'm not going to run a 3:05, you know, a sub-3 marathon.
Yeah, you're a human being.
I'm a regular human guy. I'm a regular dad, you know. So so for me to do that would be, you know, I'd have to dedicate all my time to just running. Do I want to do that? Maybe one day. But right now, I like you guys, I you know, I have a lot of things in life I want to enjoy, and my family, my friends, and other things. So for me, it just becomes I'm still the average runner. But New York for us is easy here because we have that option.
What about Boston?
So Boston is super tough, as everybody knows. Lottery is very short, very small field. You know, to qualify for Boston, everybody who wants to BQ is crazy, right? Because every year they change it and keep raising it. But then the last option for people like us is either you have a tour group or you have a charity.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the reasons why I did the 6-star to begin with was my mother passed away and I wanted to raise money for charities in her name, because she was a very compassionate person. So I wanted to do something for her and put money in her name and donate it to friends, and whether they had a good charity or it had to be like kids and family or veterans. Like my dad is a veteran. So those are the groups I look for. And I looked for a group in Boston, and I have a charity group that I work with now for 3 years, and I raise money for them every year. And that's how I get into Boston.
Oh, cool.
All right. And continuing with Boston, one of the of the toughest ways to qualify, you know, to enter is qualifying for a time, but the charities are asking for an amount of money that are too way too big. And how did you find that you have some kind of I don't know how to say
a support group, or
you have a support group that, to get the money, or you are now so you have the experience to know how to organize a good way to get the money for the charity? Because to be honest, regular people like Otero and I have seen the charities for Boston, and they usually asking for 8,000, 10,000, and that's tough.
Yeah, it's not easy to raise money for them. On average, it's right around there, $7,500, you know, $7,500 and that's the BAA who sets that number. So comparatively to everyone else, they charge the most money for charity. And it's not easy to raise that by any means for anybody. I mean, even for myself. But what I've been able to do is, you know, as I've grown in some popularity and grown a little bit of my IG or in people that follow me, you can start to talk to a lot of local companies for sponsorship and ask them for sponsor money. So what I've done is, you know, made friends with a lot of the local companies, whether tech companies or advertisement companies, and I'll reach out to all of them and ask them, you know, what can you sponsor this year? What can you donate this year? You know, and see what they're willing to do. Cause a lot of them will do sponsor and donate money to you if you ask them. A lot of people are afraid to ask. And that's the thing that you have to realize is that when you do this, you're not asking for yourself, right? You are and you aren't. You're asking for yourself because obviously you want to get in a race. Now, this is my third time doing it. So, you know, for me, it's, I don't need to run Boston anymore. I don't have to do it. I do it because I want to raise the money to help this organization and I like what they do. So when you get to that point, say, guys, you're not donating to me. Here's the website. If you want to donate, you can donate to these kids and their families. And you show them the pictures and you tell them what it's about. And if they want to do it, they will. And the other thing you could do is advertise for them.
Okay.
Right. So as an alternative and to offer them something in return, I will also offer advertisement for them, whether I advertise on my, you know, my IG or, you know, if I go on to even my LinkedIn, if they're a professional company or if they need me to advertise just on shirts for them, hats, whatever they want. But I'll promote their company as well in return as a way to help offset some of that for them so they can use marketing dollars versus just pure donation money. Because companies have two buckets of money, right? They have MDF money, which is, you know, a lot of marketing dollars to fund things. And then they'll have, you know, just straight money that they usually set aside to give away to charity. So if they only have money in one bucket, well, I'll do whatever bucket you have available and I'll work with you to make it happen.
Okay. It's good points for people that trying to get into Boston or any other. Tokyo is almost the same thing. I don't know how you got into Tokyo, but Tokyo, it works that way too.
Yeah, Tokyo's tough. The charity's hard. Obviously, you know, there's only so many spots. And when you go onto their webpage, it's very difficult. There's no real translation. If you try to call, it's hard to call them. It's not easy to deal with the Tokyo Race Association. The easiest way for me to get into Tokyo has always been to find a good tour group that you can work with. If you do it by charity and happen to be lucky enough to get in, you do have to pay pretty much up front for the most part. Mm-hmm. It is cheaper to do it by using a charity. If you know your cost is your main concern, it's cheaper if you can get it through a charity. But if you can't, the next best is to just take a tour group because they put you in a hotel. You're kind of set up. They have an agenda for you. They have a schedule for you. So that makes it a little bit easier. But again, if you're trying to do it in the same year as Boston, then it's kind of tough because you still have to either raise the money yourself mm-hmm. or see if somebody's willing to donate it to you. Because at that point, you're just asking for, you know, donations to yourself, not even to a charity, right? So
definitely,
you have to pick and choose that sometimes.
Yeah, well, for some people in South America or Central America or the Caribbean, it's kind of hard to get those sponsorship because that's more for like a U.S. soil, you know. It's that if you're here, it's easy to raise money for people in Boston because it's entities that you normally know and normally people will donate for those charities. But a charity in Tokyo, how you get it, you know? It would be hard. It would be donations from people that most of the people will ask, what is there for us? You know, because it's all the way there in Japan and it would be kind of hard to get into. And and those tour companies, how much, you know, average they charge for those like going to Tokyo or going to London? How much they charge?
I never used one for London, so I'm not really sure. But there's charities in London that you can get into. Yeah, yeah. So for London, there's a charity I like to use and I work with, and I bring all my friends, everyone who asks me, I bring them to a team that's used there, and they're roughly right around 2,500 or $2,700 US for London.
Okay.
But it goes to a charity. So you're raising money for a charity there. And for Tokyo, it depends. It's changed each year, but it's roughly around 3,000 US to go. But they put you in hotel, they bring you all your food, and they give you, and that includes all your entries and all the stuff to get in, your shirts, your jackets, everything.
The problem that we had with the charities in London was that because we were in Puerto Rico, they wanted the money now. Usually, when you go to the site, they let people have a time to get the money. Let's say if I enter to the charity today, well, you have until January of next year to collect the money. But in the case of us, we were trying to enter from Puerto Rico. They wanted the money right away. So that was not possible on that time. So we had to say no to that charity. And this year we're looking for any other ways, because we have been trying for the lottery in London for the last three or four years with no luck. I guess the only person that I know that have win the lottery for a mayor twice is Otero, that he got it on Chicago and New York. You got twice, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's the only person that I know that had taken the lottery twice. Yeah. So
he's lucky. Well,
And also I got the lottery for Berlin.
I never got the lottery. For Berlin, if you guys enter as a team, you're more eligible and more probable to get a lottery entry as a team than you are as an individual.
That's the way I was able to run Berlin, because I guess it was Otero's wife or himself that won the lottery, but she registered us as a team, so we went all three. So that was the way.
Yeah, that's the way. And the only bad thing is my wife bought the premium package for each one, you know.
We had
like 10 teachers. And
yeah, she didn't understand the language, so she just clicked away everything. Sure. So when we arrived to the expo of Berlin, they went like, you have a jacket, you have two runner shirts, you have the finisher shirt, you have an hour and 1 hour full body massage. And also you have it was a DVD that I never got. And the guy was saying like, you must be rich. And it was because she just clicked away. And a normal registration for Berlin was about 108, something like that. Our registration was above 300, because she got everything they offered, all the goodies.
I enjoyed Berlin. Yeah. I don't know how you like it. Berlin was kind of cool. The Nordic cold and all that stuff.
Berlin was good. Both years I ran, both years were warm. So 2018 when I ran it, that's where Kipchoge broke the records. I was there for that live, which was awesome. You know, you feel really bad when he finishes and breaks the record and you're still trying to run and finish, though.
We went the year before.
It happens to us in a couple of times, but in Puerto Rico, that runs like a half a marathon in Villalba, and the other one, the one in Coamo, that you, in some cases, you see the guys that go in front of you, and you still have to go like 4 or 6 miles, you know. It's like, oh, come on, man.
We went to Berlin the year before the world record, and we went to the after party. So we were able to see Kipchoge very close. We almost got an autograph from Kipchoge. We got from the women's winner and the first German female that finished the marathon. But I guess it was Otero's medal that he got. He was going to get a hold to sign it, and they pulled him away. So, but at least we have a picture with him.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and we got a whole bunch of friends from Africa, and that was kind of cool. We start hanging out with them and getting crazy in the party. Yeah.
That is a funny story, because we I thought I knew the runners, so. This guy comes with an escort, with some guy that I suppose is from the Berlin organization, and he was assisting this guy that looked like one of the elites of Kenya. So I was like, Otero, I think that guy is Bekele, and he was like, no.
We start taking pictures of him
We move to him and start taking pictures with him, and he was not Bekele. We don't know who the hell he was. But that caused that everybody thought he was Bekele.
Everybody went to get a picture with that guy, and it was kind of like, wow.
So there was a bunch of people trying to get a picture with the guy, and he was like, I guess he was feeling like the most important elite runner of the day, because nobody was taking attention from the winners. Everybody was taking pictures with him.
As a matter of fact, we start dancing and having fun with a group of people from South Africa. And it's kind of weird that now one of the new world mayors is going to be in South Africa, right? One of those, it's a marathon that they tried to get it to the mayors. It's the one in Cape Town. Yeah. Now I'm thinking, the world is getting smaller and smaller. I got a question. What do you think about this, that Abbott trying to add other marathons to the list of marathons that they already have? What is your opinion about that?
I mean, if you think about it used to be five, and then they added Tokyo, so they made the six star, right? I mean, but before the six star, there was really no medal, and then they made the six star medal. So if they add a seventh one, what do we have, like a seven star medal?
I think they're trying to do two. I know Cape Town is one, but it's another one that they try to add. But the cost for people, it would be real hard to get those medals, you know, get all those mayors. I'm pretty sure going to Cape Town is not cheap.
No, not to Africa. They were trying to get Singapore as also another race. So it would... You know, then that kind of fell apart. Now they're talking about Cape Town. But if you had a seventh one, you know, I think in my mind is, well, at some point, it's too many races. And like you said, how expensive would this become for everybody to do it? And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, if you come from South America, if you're in Colombia, if you're in, you know, what if even Central America, like Panama, and if you come from wherever, Ecuador, like the cost for these races.
It's
twice as much as someone like in the US or someone in the UK, right? Because the value of their dollar is so much less. So how expensive does this become for everybody else in the world if you're not from a major city or a major country like, you know, like London or somewhere from the US, you know? I feel like it makes it too hard then, and it keeps making it harder for folks and people to get it. Maybe if they say, well, you only have to do six out of seven. That way they have a chance to get into another race and they don't get locked out. Like right now, a lot of people are locked out of Tokyo, right? You can't get Tokyo until 2023 or 2024.
Maybe.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, because that right now is everybody trying to get into. And the problem is going to be it's too many people trying to get into the marathon. I was going to have to do something about it. Definitely. Because... I don't know. It doesn't make sense that you have something that you're promoting that is almost impossible to do it. I mean, it's insane right now.
What I really wanted to know is how they promote these races. For example, I saw the group picture for Chicago for Mexico, and they had like 150 runners there, more or less. So every time you go to a world mayor, there's a big representation of Mexicans runners on those marathons, and you, I don't know how, if they have an agency in Mexico that have good prizes or what, but for example Chicago, I saw the group picture and I've seen for example the picture that Puerto Ricans took in Berlin. That organized Angel Moreno. By the way, he's the person that I, through Angel Moreno, is the person that I saw you for the first time, and ask Moreno if it was difficult to contact you and have you on the podcast. So and you know that he's also crazy like you. So he's running.
He's that crazy runner, right? That's his name.
Yeah, and he wears the nickname with proud, because he's really running every single day. So and you see the amount of runners from Mexico is amazing. And going through that, I want to know your opinion about, because a couple of months, weeks ago, I was talking with Otero about having a discussion about the world majors in seeing it in a way about marathon as a sport or the world majors as a business, because I'm pretty sure I can finish the six world marathons. I'm pretty sure I can do it physically and mentally, but it's difficult for the normal guy, to the normal women, to get into these races and finish and have the six-star medal. So I'm seeing it that this is every day is more difficult, and they're asking more money in terms of charities, and it's a charity anyway, but it's still money. What is your point of view about this? Is this a business?
Well, if you think about it, when I first did this in 2018 starting, there was only about maybe 1,100 people with the six star. By the time I finished, we were right around maybe 3,000, 3,300. And then from there, it kind of went, you know, the next year and they finished out. And we wound up somewhere around just over 6,000 people, you know, and as it keeps multiplying with the number of runners who, you know, who get it. Now we're just over 7,000 after this year so far. And after New York, we'll be, you know, probably like 7,200, 7,300. But every time you have another 100 people, 200 people, 500 people, you get more and more people that get exposed to this medal. And because there's only a few thousand people, think of all the millions of runners, right? There's 1% of the world is a marathoner. And if you think of that, it's like, you know, 0.001 that have a six star, you know, and you want to be part of that so-called elite group, right? Because, you know, anyone who has a six star, they're like, hey, this guy's, you know, that's a small group of people. And everybody wants to have that. They want to be able to say they have it. They want something that nobody else has. And these organizations, they know that. So, you know, Abbott is smart to promote the races. Abbott doesn't make really money from the races necessarily. I don't know if they have a backdoor deal with any of these marathons, but all these organizations, you know, they run these marathons for a reason. It's a great race, but they know they make money. The city makes money.
Oh yeah, so
it's a business.
It's a business.
You know, at the end of the day, it's a business, right? So otherwise, there wouldn't be, you know, entry fees and this and that. Like, they have to pay the cities, they have to pay the police officers, they have to pay all the, you know, everybody else except the volunteers, right? So, And they make money from all the vendors, from all the expo. So it's 100%. It's a business for them. They make a lot of money off of every race. You have 33,000 people in the smallest field, right? And the biggest, New York, is almost 55,000 people. I think was the biggest I saw. So you have all those people, you know, paying to race. They're paying you to go run, you know, and then you have the food, the drinks, the expo, all the vendor, everybody who gets paid. So all this is a giant business, you know, and if Abbott is promoting and helping that grow, so be it, because you do have a lot of business that generates for the city, for the towns, for the people. So sometimes it's bad, but I don't think it's necessarily all bad, because a lot of people do get the benefit from the dollars that come to the city for it.
And I have another question for you. It's just like, but you're still thinking that it's worth it to go through this and trying to do it and raise money for charity and all the stuff. I'm pretty sure you're still thinking it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And what do you think about why a race from Latin America haven't been added to the world majors, because they talk about Cape Town, they talk about Singapore and all that stuff, but kind of forget that Latin Americans, they have a whole bunch of runners and they like to run and they support running.
Yeah, you know, I've asked that question, and if you think about the logistics of setting up a marathon, right? If you look at all the cities that are being chosen. I mean, obviously the US, we already have Boston, we have New York, we have Chicago. So we have three out of the six, but it's three major cities that have the means and the people to support it. You need the infrastructure to be able to support a race of, you know, 30 to 50,000 runners. Do you have enough hotels? Do you have enough police? Do you have enough infrastructure support to fly all those people in and out? Can your city handle
those
a race that big, right? So that's a lot of it comes down to that. And can your city really provide all the – think about this. It's all the friends and family supporters that come along with those runners. If they all brought only one person, you have an extra 100,000 people in your town for 4 days, 5 days. Can you handle it? Do you have the police that can maintain that, right? The safety, everything.
Yeah, I think about three mayors in the three marathons in South America is the Ciudad de Mexico marathon, the Santiago, Chile marathon, and also the Buenos Aires marathon. They could be considered because they are kind of in medium size right now, but they could I think they could push it to be one of the majors in the future too. They are trying. I just think about the Latin American part that, you know, not get forget about it and going somewhere else. Because I'm pretty sure Cape Town, the security is not that good because in Cape Town they have a lot of problems with crime and all this stuff.
Correct.
Yeah.
So. And it's also the money and the publicity, you know, of that country or that city being able to promote it. So what I would love to see is that they have a 6-star or let's say it's a 7-star if they add another country. Take two of them away from the US and put one in every continent.
Yeah.
Right. Well, maybe 6 continents because, you know, Antarctica might be a little bit harder. You freeze your ass, right? So, you know.
Yeah, right? Most likely.
That one might be hard. But if you put one in all the other 6 continents and then make that the 6-star, To me, that would be more favorable. I think that gives every continent and a country in that continent an opportunity to participate in a true world majors, right? Right now, we have 3 in the U.S. and only 3 outside. Exactly. So to me, it's a world major, but it's not the world major for every country, every continent. You don't represent everybody.
Going back to the charities, you continue with the interview, I heard that you continue to give to those charities after the marathons, and you even doing the marathons. You just continue to raise money for them too. So what is the name of those charities, if you don't mind to say it?
Yeah, sure. So in Chicago, I use a really big one. They're pretty broad across the country. I run with Ronald McDonald House.
Okay.
I run with them. That was my second time with them. It probably would have been 3, but obviously pandemic caused one to be lost. And I do in London, I work with a group called Get Kids Going. So that charity helps a lot of disabled kids to get into, like, you know, Special Olympics and help them with the equipment and gear and get them into that. So that's another good one. And then I work with the Respite Center in Hopkinton in Massachusetts to get into Boston. Okay. So those are my 3 that I like to work with.
All right. Yeah, I ask you because if somebody's, you know, listening to the podcast and they want to get into like Boston or maybe Chicago, maybe New York, they might use one of those or London. They can use one of the charities to raise money and maybe get into the marathon, the world majors.
Yeah, anytime people ask me, I tell them, I said, listen, give me your name, your information, and I'll send it to the people I know. So that way they know it's coming and they're being referred and recommended by somebody who's working with the organization already or who's run for them more than one time. And so far, everybody that I've sent over, you know, has been considered and given an opportunity to say, hey, if you really want to run with us, we'll give you an application. You can run with us. So it's been really good. For everyone so far that's given me their name and their info, and I've been able to pass it along and get them in if they really want to do it.
That's pretty good.
I don't mind doing it. It doesn't matter if they're, you know, I don't care what country they're from, really. If you're a runner and you really want to be a part of it, you know, I'm going to try and help you get there and help you get to your goal, your dream, you know.
It's one word. It's only one word. And absolutely. Do you want to say your social media, how they can get in touch with you or anything like that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, my Instagram is Mike the Karikin. If you hit me on Facebook, it's just my regular name. I'm just regular Michael Alcade. You know, I'm on there. you can get me there anytime. And then even if you're just for professional, I'm on LinkedIn too. You can see me there, and that's, I'm on there as well. So, you know, I'm always open to people contacting me. I actually had somebody in my LinkedIn, you know, last week contact me about New York City Marathon, because, you know, even there I promote, I put down 6 stars, the majors, everything. And I put it everywhere because I want to see people do better, be better. You know, when we started, like when I started this, like I said, there was nobody from really on Puerto Rico that was on the wall. I went to the majors and nobody was there, you know. And then by the time I got to London, there was 4 of us.
That's cool.
You know, it was great. It was, Jaime was the first one, and we had the 2 ladies. They got me by 1 race. They beat me there by Chicago. And then I did it the next month. And actually 2 weeks later, I did it in London. So it was the same month. They did it April. Boston, and I did it in April in London. So that was exciting. 3 of us in 1 month, you know. And for me, that was just like, wow, if we could do it, we can get more people and we can show them how to get there. And then that's how I bumped into Moreno. And, you know, we started talking like, hey, let's promote it. Let's get more people. I want to help more people. Let's get it on there. And that's what we do.
As a matter of fact, one of our best interviews, we have an episode in the podcast with Annette Perez Gilva. She's one of the 6 stars finishes for Puerto Rico. The interview is in Spanish, but if you want to hear it, it's there. She has an incredible story, one of our best episodes so far. And I don't want to end this conversation without asking you about your Guinness World Record. You have a world record in Guinness. Talk about it.
I mean, I'm super lucky, you know. I've with the running, I've been able to do a lot of stuff in a short amount of time with running, and it's been amazing, right? So to be able to do the dopey, to do stuff like that, these world challenges, and then the world record was not just me. There's thousands of us who were able to do it, but because you're part of the largest virtual marathon, we attempted it as a group for the London 40th. And if you did it and you got in, you're able to receive credit for being partaking in that Guinness World Record. So, you know, that was an amazing thing because I wasn't really going to do the virtual because I already had done a lot of those, and my friend to do it with me and run. And I said, okay, no problem. You know what? You need somebody to run with. And like I said, I like just to be with my friends and run. So I said, I'll run it. We ran it, and not even knowing that was going to be the main thing. And then we received the Guinness Book of World Record entry for that. So that was awesome.
So we have a world record holder in our episode. So I tell you, Corriendo Sobre 50 is getting better every day.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Mike, but you still need to do La Guadalupe en Ponce. It's a world-class marathon. The only problem is not many people go there to do it.
As a matter of fact, that's a good question. Why are you looking for marathons on the other side of the world, like the ones that Otero said, Buenos Aires, Mexico, Colombia?
Yeah, I've been. So I have a whole team that's out of Medellin in Colombia. They come and I meet them. I've met them probably 4 or 5 times every year at the Marine Corps Marathon. So one of the things I also do is I work with Achilles. And Achilles has a team called the Achilles Freedom Team. It's all disabled veterans. And, you know, my uncle was in there, he's ex-Marine, and he started hand cycling. So I would go down and I would help them set up the hand cycles. And then I would guide for the 10K runners. And then I started guiding for some of them in the marathon. And a big group that comes up is from the Achilles in Colombia. Oh. And that's how I met them. And they have a big team that are in Medellin, and they run every year. It's September, right around Labor Day. So they invite me down. So one of these days, I'm going to have to try and get down to Colombia and run with these guys.
Oh, definitely. Let us know so we can promote that.
That's in our plans also, because we want to go there, and we got a lot of listeners from Latin America.
From Colombia.
We want to run there. And we're trying to get a date, but that is in the bucket list.
Oh, yes. That's another good one. And then also in Brazil. So I'm looking to do that one.
The Sao Paulo Marathon?
Sao Paulo has one, and they have one in
Brasilia.
Yeah, they got one there too. So yeah. If I could get to those, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to run the one in Mexico City.
Yeah, I heard it's kind of hard. It's a hard marathon. Because first of all, is the altitude, and I think they finish going up and up and up.
Well, that one, and you know, we can do. We'll do Athens too when we can get to Greece and run that one too.
Oh my! Yeah, it's as soon as it's kind of weird. As soon as you do one marathon, you want to do all of them. Is you get that fever to continue to run and run, and it's I don't know, it's something that happened, that click, and we as marathoners, we can understand that, we can understand that that fever to continue to do more marathon.
Yeah, it's the energy, right? It's the energy it gives you. It helps motivate you to do more, to be able to produce that finish at the, when you step to the line and you cross the line, the feeling, it's the rush that you get, you know, you hate yourself in the middle, you love yourself in the beginning, and then you cry to yourself at the end. Right. But
it's what it is.
Right. But when you do it, it's like, it's amazing feeling. And then when you can do it with a group of people, and you get to push them and you help them through 26 miles. And that last 0.2 is always the hardest, right? Because you know everybody's so tired.
It's kind of weird. You always get one guy in the 18 to 20 miles that will run that last part of the marathon with you and pushing you, and you push him. And it's always something like that that happens. And it's kind of cool. That's something that you can describe that, you know. And you find somebody on the road. You don't know the person. You don't know anything. You just know that he's struggling. You're just struggling to get to the finish, and you push each other to get there. And that's something special too.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you don't know who they are, where they're from, but you know what? When you're in a marathon has no color.
No,
it doesn't matter. It doesn't care that you're white, black, that you're yellow, purple, green. It don't care what you are, right? It just knows that, hey, that guy's struggling, I'm struggling, we're going to help each other finish today. And that to me is what is the thing about running a marathon that really intrigues me and really brings me to want to run again, because I love meeting the people. I like being with the crowd and the runners. And, you know, you meet so many people around the world, and, you know, if you don't take advantage of meeting people around the world and learning the culture and things they do, you're missing out on everything in life. That's the biggest part about life that people miss. They're not learning the other cultures, the other people. They're not enjoying what else the world has to give them. They just know the little piece around their block, around their house.
Understanding the how much we have in common.
Absolutely.
And that's the main thing for me. We have so much in common that sometimes the only thing that differentiates us is the language, maybe in that moment, and anything like that. Hey, Mike, do you want to repeat your social media, how they can get in contact with you and all that stuff?
Sure. You can find me on Instagram. My Instagram is Mike the Karikin. You'll see me on there. And my Facebook is Mike Alcade. You can find me as well on LinkedIn. I'm on there as well as Michael A. You'll find me on there. You'll see everything with my stuff there posted. You'll see everything is, you know, associated to my running and really just trying to help motivate people get around in the world and get to more races. I want to see more of you out there. I want to see everybody get out there. I want to get all my boricuas on the wall. So every time we show up at these majors, I want more than 8 people. I think we have 8 people now. We have 4 more join us. You know, I want to double that. I want to be 16. And I want to see 32, and I'm going to keep getting it up, you know, so I want to keep getting that number higher and higher for us. And that's what I've been doing over the last, you know, let's say, you know, year to 2 years, is just trying to promote and get people and help them figure out how to get to the race.
Good. And we want to thank you for being so kind of accepting this interview, this conversation, and give us the opportunity to record our first episode in English. So if we made any mistake, to the listeners, if we make any mistakes with the language, well, we're sorry. This is not our native language, so we try as hard as we can to have a conversation in English with Mike. And we want to thank you, Mike, for your time, to be so kind to accepting it. To Angel Moreno, that he listens to us and let us know about you. And Thank you. Now we're going to use this time to promote our social media. So as you know, you can find us in Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. In Facebook as Corriendo Sobre 50 Podcast, in Twitter as Podcast CS50, and in Instagram as Corriendo Sobre 50. We also have a YouTube channel, Corriendo Sobre 50, where you can hear and hear the podcast and see other videos that we have of races that we have done here in Puerto Rico. So if you want more interviews in English, let us know. Comment when we episode goes out, and let us know if you want more interviews in English and how it was it, and any other comments. Please give us reviews, rate us in Apple Podcast. That's gonna give us the exposure to keep growing, and the same in the other podcast platforms. Please subscribe. That gives you the opportunity that when we put up a new episode, you will know it with everybody else. You will get the notification on your phone that a new episode is up. So thank you very much, everybody. Mr. Otero.
A big hug for my Russian guy, from my Israel guy, from my guy from India. I love you. I love you guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you guys for hosting me. Thank you for doing it in English, because obviously I know this is not your first language, but your English is probably better than my Spanish, so this probably worked better. But either way, you guys are awesome. Love that we got this podcast out. Love that you guys are promoting the running. And let's get some more people on the wall here, guys. We need more boricuas on the wall, and we're going to do everything we can to get them on there.
Yeah. Let's do it. Yeah.
See you in the next episode, everybody. Thank you.
Soon.
Bye.
Bye. Va a tener jopa la próxima vez. Gracias, Mike.